TalkZone.com.
Welcome to How to Tour Italy with your host, Anthony Capozzoli. Anthony's passion for Italy is contagious. His dream is to bring Italy to life for people everywhere and to help them embrace the wonderful Italian lifestyle at home. Now, with How to Tour Italy, let's welcome travel expert, guidebook author, photographer, and radio host, Anthony Capozzoli.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. We have a pretty good one lined up for you today. I'm actually going to be standing up the whole time because I was in traffic so long getting here. I'm tired of sitting, so I'm going to be standing up doing the show for at least half of it anyway. The title of this week's show is A Prison, A Drunk God, Some Great Italian Contributions to America, and A Little Gelato. Now, we might do a little bit something different, I think, on the back end instead of gelato. I may entertain you with one of my all-time favorite speeches delivered by Mr. Steve Jobs at the Stanford Commencement Address back in 2005. It's pretty motivating, and the title of it is You've Got to Find What You Love by Steve Jobs. And it's one of those things. In fact, it's kind of the inspiration for what I'm doing today and my move off to Italy and a bunch of other things that I've got going on here. So I thought I might share that with you. That is, if we have enough time. So with that, the main focus for today is the Bargello, which is Italy's sexiest prison and one of her most important art collections. We also have a Miss Janice Mancuso of 31 Days of Italian Fame and the author of a great newsletter, Tutto Italiano. Then we have Kathy McCabe joining us once again from Dream of Italy to share some wonderful tidbits from her Dream of Italy newsletter and website. And then, as I mentioned, the gelato segment and or the Steve Jobs segment, depending on how things go. So with that, I'm going to get started talking about the Bargello, which I think is one of Italy's best museums. The building is absolutely wonderful and something everyone should see. And the great thing about this place is it's in the heart of Florence, in the middle of what I consider some of the best food region of Florence. You've got lots of great restaurants and walking distance. And then the other thing is it's hardly ever busy. So you can get in and get out without a reservation in the heart of Florence, in the heat of the travel and the travel peaks, which are, you know, May, June, July, and August. So you can get in and out without having to make reservations, which is something big to say because the Uffizi, the Academia, those the more popular destinations, you absolutely have to have a reservation. And once again, every single time I go to Italy, every single year to do my walking tours and to do research for my books and other things, I always see people in line without reservations, and I always wonder why. And I ask them every single time, why are you here without a reservation for these museums? And they just thought, we didn't think we needed to make one. We thought we can just, you know, get in the line pretty quickly, and you never can. So, that's just a little tidbit on the side. Back to the Bargello. Now, you'll hear it pronounced a couple different ways, either Bargello or Bargello. So if I go back and forth, I do apologize. I believe the popular, or rather the accurate way to say it is Bargello. But this wonderful, wonderful building was built in 1255, and it was originally the seat of the government. And it was originally called Palazzo del Popolo. And it was the kind of the seat of civic power for the Podesta, which was the city ruler of Florence. Around the 16th century, it became known as the Bargello, and that was because it changed from the seat of power for the Podesta, or kind of the ruler of Florence, to the police headquarters, and they had prison cells installed. And it does have kind of a stout look to it, and we'll get into a little bit about why that is and how it's built and what kind of stones were used to create it and why this is so magnificent, both on the exterior and what is inside or on the interior. So this is truly one of Florence's most important museums that is rarely ever busy, as I mentioned, and you do not need a reservation most of the time. Now, if you want to make sure that you are able to get in exactly when you want and stick to a timeline, then make a reservation. And there's lots of websites that will help you do so. You can start off at unabellavista.com or doyouloveitaly.com, both of which are mine. And there are links on that on my website that can get you to the appropriate websites to make reservations for these museums. So you can decide if that's important enough to you. As I mentioned earlier, the building seems stout and elegant. This is truly a fortress. I mean, this was, but there is something poetic about this place. I don't know how to describe it. However, it does seem as if it were plucked from the pages of a fairy tale and literally dropped in the center of Florence. The courtyard of the Bargello is one of my favorites in Italy. It is complete with a well in the center and stairs on the right that take you up to the second floor. And as you walk up those stairs, you'll have the Podesta's coat of arms along the way. It's also this spot, this courtyard in the interior of the Bargello is a wonderful spot to take it easy, enjoy a bit of water, a bottle of water that you have in your backpack, sit and contemplate a little bit, soak up the history. You can almost hear the voices of history, or rather of Florence's most famous sons and daughters of history echoing in the courtyard. I mean, it is quiet and picturesque, a great opportunity to take photos, but you have to sneak them, so be cautious. You might want to turn off your flash so you don't draw attention to yourself. But it is, it's truly, truly wonderful. And I think that not only go and visit the museum, give yourself a couple of hours to spend time enjoying its works, but do spend some time in the courtyard, take some notes, jot down some things in your journal, and really kind of embrace what's going on, because the Bargello is one of those places that, is truly magnificent. I do want to point you in the direction of a wonderful book that you can read titled The Stones of Florence by Miss Mary McCarthy. Her cover picture on this, on her book is actually the interior courtyard of the Bargello. And the reason for that is because it is the essence, in my opinion, of all great things that are Florence. There are many other things that kind of capture the essence of Florence, but the courtyard of the Bargello is just one of those places you have to go and check out. I'm going to get in a little bit now about the Bargello's art collection. It is one of Italy's best, and I think most important. And there's a couple of different things. We've got the Drunken Bacchus by Michelangelo. We have the competitive panels for the doors of the baptistry, and we'll get into some detail about those two in a moment. We have Donatello's Saint George from the niche at Or San Michele. We have the naked statue of David by Donatello that essentially kicked off the Renaissance. We have another wonderful statue by Giambologna. It's the Mercury. And it's the Mercury that you see in your mind. If you picture Mercury with the winged helmet and the winged sandals kind of on his tippy toes, that is the Mercury of Giambologna that you see there. You have a sculpture of Cosimo I. You have the bust, of Michelangelo by Daniele del Volterra. You also have in the interior courtyard, in the loggia, you have, believe it or not, it's going to sound a little weird, but you have a statue of kind of an angry turkey. And why in the world is there an angry turkey and a sculpture of that in the loggia anyway at the Bargello? And the reason for that is, Giambologna and some of his cohorts, people that he worked with, were representing the fact that the turkey was introduced to Italy from the United States or from America, in around the, God, was it the 16th century? I do apologize. The exact date escapes me, but it's represented in sculpture because it's new to Italy, the particular, you know, the turkey. So to eat it, to raise it, to do what you do with a turkey, as we do here, it's represented there in a wonderful sculpture. And it's actually a very nice sculpture. You should check it out. But that is one of the United States or America's contributions to Italy. And it kind of ties in nicely with what we're going to be talking about today, because of, J.T. Mancuso. We'll be coming here to talk about Italians and their great contributions to America. So it's kind of the flip side of that. But I'm only talking about a turkey, and she's going to be talking about wonderful things like academics and other wonderful historical, very important events. So moving on, I do want to spend some time talking about Donatello's David. This is it's a slender nude boy holding a sword in his hand with his foot on the head of the slain enemy Goliath. This is the usual depiction of David that you do see after the fight. Unlike Michelangelo's David, which is before the fight that you see also in Florence at the Accademia, and then John Lorenzo Bernini's statue of David during the fight, which is in Rome at the Borghese Palace. So why is this important? Well, there are a couple different things. The naked body is the quintessential symbol of humanism and our ability as humans to think and act freely, which is the basis of the Renaissance. Renaissance is French for rebirth. In Italian, it's Rinascimento, which is rebirth. And this is actually one of Europe's first nude sculptures since the ancients, and signified our rebirth, our taking control of our own destiny, which means we are able to, we're free thinking, and we're able to control our destiny each and every day. We're not destined to accomplish something because God told us to do so. Rinascito in Italian. I think I'm saying that exactly right. It slips my mind. So I'll get back to it if I pops in exactly right, but I think it's Rinascento. Anyway, it's actually quite a bit smaller than you might think, the statue of David. It's not as grandiose as Michelangelo's by any means, and it's actually quite dwarfed by John Lorenzo Bernini's as well. It's quite small. Unfortunately, last time I was there, I've seen it many, many times, but the last time I was there, it was out for cleaning. They were cleaning it, and they just had it protected in the Bargello. So I wasn't able to see it, but they have wonderful pictures and where it was actually sitting. But this is a wonderful sculpture, and you'd be kind of surprised. It's a very young boy with his head, rather his foot on the head of the slain Goliath nude, as it exactly reads, in the Bible when this actual act happened. We also have the competitive panels for the baptistry doors. Now, these are critically, critically important, specifically to Florence. This competition for the baptistry doors was created by the city of Florence to find the best artist for the job to actually create the doors for the baptistry in the center of Florence near the Duomo. Many applied and delivered completed competitive panels. It came down to two artists, Ghiberti and Brunelleschi. The panel itself was the sacrifice of Isaac. That was the narrative that they wanted the artist to create. The first set of doors in the baptistry was created by Andrea Pisano. You might remember him from last week's show. He did lots of work in Siena, as well as his son did for the Duomo. And he created the original or the first set of doors for the baptistry, and they're beautiful. You can see them today. They have the originals and replicas in Florence. Keep in mind we have Ghiberti and Brunelleschi. Now, Ghiberti won this competition by a narrow margin. You can go to doyouloveitaly.com and click on radio to see both panels. And I want you to see if you can actually pick the winner. I've got them side by side. I do not have them titled. And the difference is subtle but important. Ghiberti's actually has a bit more life and makes better use of the limited space of the panel. And I'll get into some specifics on that in a moment, but without boring you to tears, it's just important to know that he has a better use of space and he actually captures the essence of the moment a little bit better. However, now Ghiberti won and went on to create the doors for the baptistry and then ultimately the gates of paradise. But the loser, Brunelleschi, after losing the panel, went on to design and build the most recognizable Duomo in Italy. So as they say, the Duomo in Florence is named Santa Maria del Fiore. So as they say, when God closes a door, he opens a Duomo. And he did take advantage of this. And as a result of losing, he went on to create one of the most recognizable sites in the whole of Italy. I would say outside of the Colosseum itself and the statue of David by Michelangelo, I would argue that the Duomo of Florence is probably the most recognizable in the whole of Italy. And he went on to do this because he lost. So there's something to say, something to be said, I would think, for losing. The baptistry panels, the original competitive panels, can be seen at the Borghello, and they're upstairs, and something that you should truly, truly take time to go see and enjoy and take a moment to embrace. We also have, downstairs at the Borghello, Michelangelo's Drunk Bacchus. This statue was created in 1497 originally for Cardinal Raffaello Riario, and the Cardinal, upon seeing it, actually rejected it. And the reason I laugh, I just can't even imagine what the impact of this was on Michelangelo. He was temperamental and insecure, and he did not like, he always thought people were angling against him, and the powers that be didn't like him. So I can't even imagine how bad this threw Michelangelo off. So, like I said, it was originally created in Rome. After it was rejected by the cardinal, Jacopo Galli, a banker, purchased it. It was in Rome for many, many, many years, and it was moved to Florence and is now at home at the Borghello. Now, this Bacchus from Michelangelo is quite a bit different than the other Bacchuses that you might see in painting and in sculpture. First and foremost, this Bacchus is tipsy from the wine. You can actually see him almost looking as if he's going to be, as if he's falling over. He's got the wine in his right hand, and he's kind of using his left hand to kind of keep his balance. His left leg is stiff, but his right leg looks a little tipsy-turvy. He almost looks like that crazy uncle we all have at holiday parties who drinks a little bit too much wine, thinks he's funny, can't quite keep it together. So, but he's not falling down yet, but everyone's kind of rolling their eyes because everyone knows it's coming. That's kind of the image that you get from this particular image or statue from Michelangelo. This Bacchus, his penis is chipped off, but that was not by Michelangelo. I think it was done in transport. And you can almost see, the statue is a bit fleshy and kind of puffy, kind of that look you have after you've drank or partied too much. You wake up the next day and you just don't feel right. You're a little bit puffy and uncomfortable. Well, the statue exactly has those qualities and you can see them airing out. It's quite interesting. It's got a bigendered appearance, so it's male and female in appearance, and you'll know what I mean when you see it. And keep in mind, why is this so critically important? Because Bacchus is the god of luxuriant fertility and wine. He is often represented as a masculine figure in control, and the festival around Bacchus is called the Bacchanalia, where you drank too much, and kind of those historic Greek and Roman orgies kind of were embraced and around the god of Bacchus. Well, this Bacchus seems to have consumed a bit too much of his own wine. So that's what kind of makes this one a bit interesting. You can also see the god Pan eating grapes and acting as the base for this particular statue. Pan is eating grapes out of the hand of Bacchus at the base. And the base, or Pan is the base for Bacchus, as the stump is the base for Michelangelo's David, not too far away from the Bargello at the Academia. So it's tough to describe the critical importance of this statue. You just have to see it, and it's one of those statues that I think is another one that is underrated by the hand of Michelangelo, and it's beautiful. And the great thing about the Bargello also is... I'm getting a phone call. I do apologize. I'm going to turn my phone off. The great thing about the Bargello, though, besides this wonderful statue by Michelangelo, is he's got a host of other work there. So you can enjoy much of his work, not bothered by the throngs of people that you will for sure at the Academia. So those are some critically important things there. What you will also see, as I mentioned before, the Donatello's St. George. It's in the niche at Orsay and Michel. Donatello is a critically important artist, and I'm going to dedicate an entire show on his artwork. In fact, I'm very excited because I'm going to be breaking my show down a little bit differently when I'm in Italy. I'm actually going to be recording my shows live, on foot, or in car, or wherever I'm at, as I'm in front of these wonderful artworks in the museums, in the piazzas, in the streets, in the churches, so long as I'm not being rude or disrespectful, I'm not breaking any laws, I'm not going to do it where I'm told not to do so, but I'm going to seek permission, and I'm hopefully going to get it 100% of the time. I imagine there'll be a couple of snafus in there, but I'll get it worked out. And what's going to be great about that is as I'm walking through these museums, I'm going to do things in order and talk about their importance. I'm going to use my flip video phone to actually show images and take pictures and post them all on my website. So you can be right there with me the entire time I'm talking and describing about these wonderful things on the radio show. You'll be right there with me along the way, each and every step. So as I mentioned, the Bargello, it's wonderful. You won't need a reservation. You can walk in there. If you have a security check you have to go through and an x-ray machine you have to kind of put your bag through, but they do have a wonderful, wonderful bookstore that has books and photos and works of art that you can purchase from there if you want to take things home. And that's something that I like to do as well, is purchase things from the gift stores so that I can use them and frame them at home or put the books on my bookshelf. And they're always affordable and in a great way to travel and remember everything you've seen and done in Italy. And I always do save also the tickets that I use to purchase and grant access to these wonderful museums. So, the Bargello. I can't say enough how important it is. I think we all need to go. I will be covering this by artist and doing lots of different radio shows on this particular topic. But keep in mind, if you want to see the great works of Gian Bologna, if you want to see the great works of Donatello, if you want to see the great works of Michelangelo, if you want to see the competitive panels that make Florence as wonderful a city as it is, you have to check out the Bargello. It is the world's sexiest prison. And with that, we're taking a little break. Ciao. We'll see you on the bounce.
Dreaming of renting a villa in Italy? Papavero Villa Rentals, your Italy experts, will make that dream come true. We specialize in Italy 100% of the time. It's our passion and we love what we do. We're experts on travel to Italy and we're here to help you plan the perfect trip. From the Italian Alps to the beaches of Sicily, we personally select each property to assure your comfort. We travel to Italy multiple times a year to inspect and revisit each property to assure your physical comfort as well. We thump the pillows, check the water pressure, and sleep in the beds. We know each property intimately and are happy to help you choose the one that best suits your desires. And we don't stop there. Our frequent trips to Italy enable us to arrange day tours and services, all pre-approved by us, so you can book with confidence. No matter what your dream may be, a stunning villa with staff on Lake Como, a country cottage in Tuscany, a chic apartment in Rome, or anything in between, trust your dream to Papavero Villa Rentals. Call us toll-free at 1-866-737-0000. That's 1-866-737-0000. Or visit us online at papaverorentals.com.